Well, that was kind of hard. We're going to miss you, Josh. Hey, that was difficult, too. Well, hey, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Yeah, me and Bing Crosby. Hey, thanks to everybody who's been working behind the scenes to decorate the church and make it look beautiful for Advent upstairs and downstairs. Welcome everybody up in the satellite service. I know it looks wonderful up there this morning as well. And I'm imagining your smiling faces up there right now, lighting up that sanctuary upstairs as well. So it's so thank you so much for those who have been just working behind the scenes. Well, we are entering into our season of Advent. This Sunday marks the first Advent of 2019. And last night, as I was here practicing what I preach, after I left the sanctuary, I went and joined my brother Emmanuel. And there's a group that meets here on Saturday evenings at 8 o'clock. And they come and they pray for the church, pray for their needs as well. And Emmanuel, who is a member at our church, leads that time. And as we were praying together, we were just talking, and I thought it'd be nice if he could come up and pray for the message this morning. So Emmanuel, why don't you come on up, and he's going to pray for the message in his language. And I can't translate his language. But we did talk about what you're going to pray about, right? We talked about that today would be a day of salvation here at Still Heights, and for the blessing, God's blessing on Advent. So, Emmanuel, thank you for your service of prayer here at Still Heights. So, bless you as you lead us in prayer.
Thank you. Let's say one word. I will do two things, okay, because I have an opportunity to take this microphone. So, I remember before when I came here, mm-hmm, even talk, it was very hard.
Yeah, you're but doing great now.
Praise God, because just now I can talk a little bit one in English.
Amen.
So, one thing I can do, I will shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The second one, I will pray a little bit.
Okay.
I will try in English.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Okay. Let's raise some hands. Say hallelujah.
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 Again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. We are God. Thank you, Father, for everyone who is here. We invite the Holy Spirit to be on this place. Mm-hmm. Change everything. The Holy Spirit, help everyone who is here. The Holy Spirit, I invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be with the pastor, to be with everyone who come on this church. Let the Holy Spirit guide everyone. Let the Holy Spirit help who have the crying every morning. Let the Holy Spirit help the heart who broken. Let the Holy Spirit be this on this morning. Change everything. The sickness. Heal the Holy Spirit here who have the sickness. Let the Holy Spirit change. Tragushimye mana ikigitondo cyuyu munsi kidasanzwe, reka ubwami bwawe buganze muri ritorero, reka imbaraga zawe ziganze, reka ubwami bwawe butegeke mana. Ni wowe twizeye, ubasha gukora ibikomeye, ubasha guhindura, ubasha gutegeka, ubasha gukora mana. Turashima izina ryawe, turashima imbaraga zawe, turashima kubasha gukora ibiruta ibyo dutekereza, nibyo twibwira muri twebwe mana. Urakoze kuri Imana twizera kandi twiringira ibihe byose ni mu izina rya Yesu. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you refresh my soul, brother. Thank you. Amen. Well, that was in another language. Yes. But isn't it great that God understands us, regardless of what nation we're from, when we call out in Jesus' name? He hears from heaven, and we pray that his will be done here this Advent season at Still Heights as we walk together in as a church family and in our families, as individuals. I pray that God's blessing will be upon you. Well, as I was praying about the theme for this year's Advent series, I kept coming to a place of fulfillment, a time of fulfillment. And so as I prayed about the topic, about the theme, that's what I landed on, was Christmas, a time of fulfillment. Christmas, a time of fulfillment. And our key passage that we will be working with as we work through Advent, which is a Latin term for Jesus coming or coming. And as Christians, that coming is Jesus coming to the earth. And in the Christian calendar, it's the last four Sundays before Christmas Day that are considered Advent Sundays. And so we are in the first Sunday of Advent today. And the passage that the Lord put on my heart as I was thinking about this theme of a time of fulfillment, it's an unlikely passage for an Advent passage. It's actually found at the end of the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He has appeared to the disciples at Jerusalem in a secret room somewhere, and he is speaking with them, and he is praying with them, and he says in verse 44 of Luke 24 and 45, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened up their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He opened up their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. That's my prayer for Advent 2019 here at Still Heights, that God would open up our minds and our hearts to this familiar story for many of us, and that God would give us fresh perspective on what an amazing event, the most amazing event, arguably, next to the resurrection, which is more important. They're both important. The incarnation and the resurrection, they're both crucial in our faith and what we believe. But I pray that God will open up our minds together as we work through this Advent series, and that our hearts would be changed as well as our minds are opened up by the Holy Spirit, that our minds would be illuminated by the scriptures, and that there would be a faith response coming out of that time with the Holy Spirit as we work through the scriptures. So Jesus fulfilled all that was written about his birth, about his earthly ministry, about his death, about his resurrection and ascension. And through Jesus' complete obedience and reliance on God the Father, he was able to fulfill all these things as he walked daily in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had complete obedience and reliance on his Heavenly Father. I pray that God will give us Christ's fulfillment this year in Advent 2019. Well, many people are looking for true fulfillment, aren't they? They're looking for fulfillment. Do you know that some people are feeling so unfulfilled in their lives that they are seeking escape? Or as Dory said in Finding Nemo, escape. Escape. They're seeking escape. Or they're just maybe bored with their lives, but they're joining these online virtual communities. You ever heard of these communities, online virtual communities? Once they enter into their second life, as one online platform is called, they choose an online avatar. A little digital person online, they call them an avatar, and they give that avatar a personality, and it becomes their second identity. And they begin living this fantasy life online where they program and create their new life. They choose what kind of job they want, whether they want to change their jobs, where they're going to live, their friends, their partners, and they interact virtually with other people online. Founder of Second Life, Philip Rosedale, was quoted as saying, and I quote him, "We don't see this as a game. We see it as a platform that is in many ways better than the real world." End of quote. People are looking for fulfillment. And when you start to blur the lines between reality and fantasy, or whatever that escape is for you, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's something else, you're looking for life, but it's a false sense of life. It's a false life source. Only true fulfillment comes from Jesus. Jesus said, "I came so that you might have life to the fullest." So I encourage you, if you're thinking about that type of hobby, be careful. Because it's easy to just start kind of drifting into the Netherlands of this virtual world, and you start to lose touch with reality. Today's message is entitled "Destined for Greatness." Destined for greatness. And our Advent reading is taken from Luke 1, 26 through 33. And that was shared at the beginning of the services, in both services, for our Advent readers. Thank you for doing that. And this event takes place very early in the Christmas story, where Mary was visited by an angel, Gabriel, and he said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Boy, that's a good word right there, isn't it? Do not be afraid of the unknown. "Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end." God had predetermined that even before the birth of Jesus, he was bound for greatness. He will be great. He was destined for greatness. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and he will rule over Israel on the throne of David, and his kingdom will never end. He is the eternal king. Jesus was destined for greatness. Jesus' greatness is foretold long before Gabriel's visit to Mary. God established a covenant with his servant Abraham. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, God said to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you great, and you will be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth." All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And God fulfilled his promise to Abraham, and he gave him and Sarah a son, and they named him Isaac. And after Abraham passed away, that blessing transferred over to Isaac, and from Isaac over to his son Jacob, and then from Jacob to one of his sons, 12 sons, named Judah. And we read in Genesis 49, Genesis 49, verse 10, how Jacob, now an old man, blesses his son Judah. And he begins to prophesy over his son Judah. And this is what he says. The scepter, he's talking about this kingly role, this scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Until it comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his. This is why Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. He was born into greatness. He was born into this kingly lineage. And if you turn to the lineages that are recorded in the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, you'll track that through and you'll see that Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is Judah. Well, jumping ahead to Isaiah, probably 1,000 years later, he writes these amazing words. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, of the increase of his reign and rule and peace, there will be no end. Again, talking about this kingly rule, Isaiah is prophesying not only into his own times. And when we think about prophecy in the Old Testament, often the prophet is speaking a word directly to his time and place and to the people that he's communicating to. But then there's a messianic aspect to that prophecy about the coming of Christ and about the second coming of Christ. And when we look at Old Testament prophecy, we see that Isaiah here is looking ahead, and he's looking to the first coming of Christ, and he's looking to the second coming of Christ when Christ establishes eternal throne on a new earth and a new heaven, the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven. To Jesus' peace, there will be no end because he will reign perfectly as king. Moses, who lived 800 years before Isaiah, he was prophesying and somewhere around 1500 BC. And he prophesied about a greater prophet that would rise up out of Israel, out of the brothers, and lead God's people in a new exodus. Not from Pharaoh, but from the evil one, the prince of darkness, who has held captive so many people, and each one of us was held captive until we came into new relationship with Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews tells us that this greater prophet is Jesus. We read 3 and 4. Jesus has been found worthy of a greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Again, we see Jesus' greatness shining through. Jesus is greater than the prophet Moses and his law. Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses. He lived the perfect life, sinless life. Jesus was greater than Abraham in his covenant. Jesus said to the Jewish Pharisees, "Before Abraham, I am." Also, Jesus fulfilled the covenant of Abraham, this blessing that would go from generation to generation was fulfilled and established anew again through the new covenant, which we just celebrated at the Lord's table. The wine and the cup, the cup and the bread are symbols of this new covenant that Jesus has established, that now the church will be that messenger of blessing to the nations. John the Baptist was the last and the greatest of all the prophets because he bridged this 400-year-plus gap between the prophetic silence between Malachi and the birth of Jesus. But John said that Jesus must become greater and I must become less, that because he is over all things. John was a friend and a forerunner of the bridegroom, but Jesus was the groom everyone was waiting for. He was the main attraction. John said, "I'm unworthy to bow down and untie his sandals." So down through history, God provided Israel with this prophetic roadmap And he foretold various signs and conditions. I'm going to take my coat off, okay, because I'm warming up. No, that's what's probably causing all that static. Okay, thank you, sound team. Okay, all right, should I roll up my sleeves? So down through history, there's this prophetic roadmap, and he foretells all these various signs throughout the Old Testament and through the prophets that spoke about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, who would come and liberate the world from the darkness of sin. The Old Testament, written hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, it contains over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled through his earthly life and death and resurrection. Jesus said, I fulfilled all things that were written about me in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets. Amazingly, Jesus fulfilled all that was written. All that was written about him. His coming greatness was foretold by his disciple, his greatness was spoken about by Peter, who said in 1 Peter 1:20 that he was chosen before the creation of the world. Before the prophets, long before the prophets, Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed to us in these last times for our sake, so that we could hear and receive the blessing of God, the Gentile nations, not just the people of Israel. Advent truly is a time of fulfillment and a time of greatness. Well, Matthew 23:11-12, we read, the greats among you will be your servant, or the greatest among you will be your servant. But for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. When we're thinking about what does greatness look like, we need to make sure that we can distinguish between kingdom greatness and worldly greatness. When we think about life fulfillment and greatness, it's important for us to understand that there's a difference between the two definitions. Paul counted all his worldly achievements. How did he count them? He counted them as a loss in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. Everything else was a loss in comparison to knowing Christ. Jesus said, anyone who wants to be great must be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When we read the biblical account of Jesus' life, we are told about the greatness of his miraculous birth, of his teaching, of his authority to do miraculous work in both the spiritual and the physical world. The scriptures tell of Jesus' greatness in his servant attitude, how he was willing to wash the feet of the disciples, and his constant submission, servanthood and submission to his heavenly Father. We see his greatness in his tender care for those impoverished, for the weak, for the forgotten ones. This great love that Jesus poured out on the cross for us because he loves us. The greatness of his power expressed through the resurrection as our Lord overcomes sin and death. By the revelation of God's word, we behold in the scriptures the greatness of Jesus' kingdom, where he is seated with the Heavenly Father at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's waiting patiently for the appointed time when the Father will send him back to earth a final time, and he will come with healing in his wings and victory in his eyes, and he will defeat all his enemies, and he will establish his eternal kingdom on earth. Truly, Jesus is destined for greatness, and Christmas time is a time to remember his fulfillment of that destiny and to remember his greatness, and we worship him as our King. the calling to greater things is something that Jesus has extended to us. Certainly, we have seen in the scriptures that Jesus was destined for greatness, but what about us? What about us as his followers? Some of you may be thinking, isn't that a little bit worldly and presumptuous, Pastor, to say we're destined for greatness? Great. Where do we start? Well, if it was for your own glory, then, if I had the hats made up and, let's make Darren great again, that would be a little bit presumptuous. If all we did was kind of bounce along through life, from one opportunity to the next, bouncing around, like, I'm the greatest, like Muhammad Ali spouting off to everybody, former world heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest. Well, then we probably misunderstood what the biblical definition of greatness is. In Jesus' kingdom, the servant and the child and the least of these are considered the greatest, not the power politicians, not the kings and the queens, the celebrities and the billionaires and the sports heroes, the rock stars. Jesus' kingdom uses a different metric, a different measuring tape. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. If you want to understand Jesus' measuring tape for greatness, just go into the Sermon on the Mount. Spend some time in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, he said. Jesus spoke of another kind of greatness that his followers are destined for during their time on earth. And we read about that in our passage in John 14. Jesus is comforting his disciples regarding his upcoming death and his departure back to heaven. And he tells them that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And so the disciples are still developing in their understanding of Christ as the Messiah. Christ is the Son of God, Jesus' death, his resurrection. And so they're processing all these things, and they're not making it work in their minds. And so Philip finally says, hey, Jesus, just show us the Father and that will be enough. We'll be good. Just show us the Father. And at this point, you have to start thinking that Jesus is a bit frustrated with the thick-headedness of his disciples. And certainly we've all been thick-headed in our understanding of Jesus sometimes, or maybe hard-hearted. And it takes a while for the message to sink in. And so he replies to them, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of all my miracles themselves. And then Jesus drops the greatness bomb. He drops the mic and he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things because I am going to the Father.
Amen.
Amen. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Jesus said that we will do greater things. Well, let's take a bit of a time just to unpack this term greater things so we're sure what we're dealing with here. First of all, this doesn't mean that the disciples are going to be greater than Jesus. It doesn't mean that they're going to be greater than him. He's talking about works here, not stature. He's talking about works, not stature. So what kind of works are we talking about then? Jesus did some pretty amazing things, didn't he? Fed the 5,000, 5 barley loaves, and 2 fishes. Calmed the storm. Turned the water into wine, raised up Lazarus from the dead, and others. So how do you top that kind of greatness? Well, let me ask you this. In all those miracles, was humanity's greatest need met? In all those miracles that Jesus did, was humanity's greatest need meant. No. You know what happens after you turn water into wine? People drink it all. And they get thirsty. And they need more wine. How about food? People ate it all. And now you have to make more food. Some of us feel that way at home. Jesus calmed the storm, but you know what? There's always more storms, aren't there? Jesus raised people from the dead, but they ended up dying again. Ouch. So what are the greater works God is calling us to fulfill? Well, they're the good works, like in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. There's that destined for greatness, to do these good works, works of sanctification, like worshiping and prayer and feeding the poor and loving one another and being a generous steward and making positive contributions to our society. I was at the Premier's breakfast, prayer breakfast on Monday, and 700 people there at the Expo Center at near the Coliseum, and our Premier Kenny was there, and people were praying for him, and he was so appreciative of those prayers. And I saw a lot of Christian people making positive contributions to our society, and we need to pray for our leaders. And in our jobs, in our vocations, that's what makes society civil, and that's why we have an orderly society and a safe society and the rule of law and all those beautiful things that God has blessed Canada with. Another good work is for those who are married and able to have a family, to raise up family in society. This is a beautiful gift and a good work as well. These are all good works that glorify God, and we need to keep doing them. And perhaps God even empowers us to do miraculous works. And I'm not talking just miraculous, like, man, that was a miracle that my wife showed up at the office right when I was really hungry and she had lunch. I mean, that's good. That's a providential work of God. The Holy Spirit's working with this in us. And I guess, in a sense, that's miraculous. But I'm thinking more along the lines where the laws of science are actually defied. Right? Like, the cancer goes away. Prophetically, someone speaks about someone else. And God gives them a prophetic word that's there. About the future, or they exorcise a demon from somebody's life. These are true, full-on miracles, and I believe that those miracles haven't ceased in the New Testament or in the church age. They still happen today. They still can happen here even this morning at Still Heights Baptist Church. But we're not just chasing the miracles and seeking the tornadoes and the hurricanes and all those things that just drive our adrenaline through the roof. No, we're seeking God. And sometimes we seek him very quietly and very contemplatively, but we are open to the miraculous. And we're open to living by faith, and God can do his works through us. In Matthew 7, 22 through 23, Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So we can be doing all these miracles. We can be like the guy that appears on our TV late at night. And he says to us, just pray this prayer and send me the money. And you will see miracles happen. I'll send you some holy water through Amazon. So these kind of good works, whether they're for the right motive or the wrong motives, won't help us achieve that true greater thing that Jesus is calling us to as his church. Jesus gives us a clue to what the greater work is in Luke 10, 19 through 20. And here in Luke 10, 19 through 20, we see Jesus sending out the 72, two by two, and they're going out ahead of Jesus into the towns, and he sends them out, and then they come back and they give a report. And they're just so excited because they're seeing Satan's kingdom dismantled in Jesus' name. And they're seeing these miraculous things that are happening as they're doing these works. And Jesus says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so we have a clue here what Jesus is getting at. He's saying, those are good works, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Folks, we find our greatness in fulfilling the greatest need of humanity. And the greatest need of the humanity is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and for us to make disciples. We can't save people. Only God can do that. However, we have been commissioned to declare what? The good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That is the greatest news that we could ever share with someone. That is the great work that God has called us to. Yes, we need to worship God and have community and do all these other good works. But folks, if at Still Heights we stop preaching the gospel lovingly and living it out and really being evangelistic in what we're doing internationally and in our community, and if we don't give people an opportunity to receive the gospel, then all the other things are good, but we're missing the greater thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The great thing is to keep the great thing the great thing. And we need to continue to grow in how to share our faith. That's why in your bulletin today, there's a card. And on it is the memory verse. And on the back, we do this every month. Write down three people who you are going to pray for and try and minister to this week, this month. Maybe just write down one name. But trust God. It's an act of faith. You know what? There's only one great work that makes the angels in heaven rejoice. It's when one sinner repents and receives eternal life. That's the one good work we know that causes heaven to stand on their feet and rejoice because someone has turned their life to Christ. So Jesus said we'll do the greater things because we have a complete message now. During Jesus' earthly ministry, the gospel wasn't completed yet. Jesus hadn't raised, he hadn't been resurrected. He hadn't been ascended to the Father. He hadn't sent the Holy Spirit yet. So our message is greater now for that reason. Secondly, the reach and the extent of the message is greater. That's why Jesus said, you'll do even greater things than I've done, because the extent of the message, the reach of the message is far more reaching now. When Jesus told the disciples to go back to Jerusalem and he ascended to the heaven, how many people were gathered there? 120. But when Peter preached the first message at Pentecost, bam! 3,000 people accepted Jesus as their Lord. Paul reached the Mediterranean world. Billy Graham in his lifetime traveled the planet through in person and radio and television, and millions of souls heard the gospel. And now through the internet and through social media, the world is being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Truly, it is going out to every nation. Truly, these are days of greater things. And we do them because we do them in Jesus' name. Which is greater? To tell a paralytic to pick up your mat and walk, or that through your confession in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven? What's the greater? You could have it would be an amazing miracle to be able to walk again for those who struggle with that. But if you don't know Christ, you still can't walk into heaven. But if you know Christ, then the gates of heaven are open to you when your days are done on this earth, and you will live and leap for Jesus for eternity. Jesus said, greater things you shall do. Repentance that leads to salvation is the greatest miracle that we know of. Well, Advent is a story about a time in history, in the fullness of time, when God sent his Son to fulfill all that was prophesied and ordained. For unto us a child is born, and he will be great. Jesus was destined for greatness from days of old, and he has given us the greatest message ever told. And we need to keep doing the good works and the great work here at SHBC and in our lives. We can't forget about the greater work. Paul put it best. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's great news. So Heights, we are destined for greatness, so let's keep proclaiming the greatest message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to present an opportunity for you to do the greatest thing that you could ever do in your life, and that is to receive Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. And so I want to invite the worship team to come up at this time. And as they're coming up, I just want to say this to you. That if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to make today the day of salvation. Allow Christ to come into your life. And we do that by faith, and we do that by repentance. And the best way to express those two things is through prayer. And so this morning as we close, I'm just going to simply ask that we'd all bow our heads and close our eyes together. And if this prayer that I'm going to read, whether here in the sanctuary, up in the satellite service, expresses the desire of your heart, then I pray that you will pray this prayer to God in your own heart. And after the service, I encourage you, if you're up in the satellite service, to come and talk to Pastor Ben, or in the sanctuary, come and talk to me. So let's pray together as we pray this prayer of salvation. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, God. I'm ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, Jesus. Come into my heart today, Lord Jesus, and be my Lord and my Savior. Well, we have a message to share, don't we? Well, I want to invite you again to the Family Sunday Lunch downstairs in the fireside room immediately after the service. Encourage you also to remember to pick up your giving year-to-date updates at the Welcome Center on your way out. Get your picture taken. Give someone a high five. Tell them they look great. And let's pray together for a meal. Lord, thank you so much for this, for our service today, God. Thank you for this food that's been lovingly prepared. Lord, bless our fellowship. Make it sweet, God. And we just give you thanks, Lord, for salvation in Jesus. Amen. Go in his blessing.